I think it is, too. All right, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. The last three or four times I've spoken, we've been in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm determined that I'm going to get through 1 Peter chapter 2 a lot faster than I did 1 Peter chapter 1. So, good Lord willing, we may get through the entire chapter 2 tonight. Before we get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life. Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us. We thank you for the rain. Father, we just thank you most of all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus, your Son, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Father, we just pray that you would just hide me behind the cross tonight, and that the words that are spoken, that would enlighten, and that hearts would be touched, and that you would be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, in the past, like I said, the last few or three, two or three times I've spoken, I was on chapter 1, and I'm going to go back and basically do a brief overview. In chapter 1, Peter is reminding us of our great and precious salvation. In verse 6 of chapter 1, he tells us we will face trials, but that our faith will result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 14, he warns us not to be conformed to our previous lust, which we all had before we were saved, but we are to live holy lives in all of our behavior. In the last part of the chapter of 1 Peter, he reminds us that our salvation is sure and our hope is in the living Word of God. All right, tonight we're going to read. First, I'm going to read through chapter 2 and read all the way through it, and then we'll come back and analyze it. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Okay. Now going back to verse 1, the first three verses. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. All right, if we're to grow spiritually, and Peter is writing to the ones who have been dispersed, or I'm not saying they're in captivity, but they've been dispersed into the different provinces, and he's saying that you cannot grow spiritually if you're still hanging on to all of these former things that you used to do, that we all used to do. We have to put them aside. We cannot continue to do those things. Like newborn babies long for their mother's milk. Mothers, you know all about that, like newborn babies long for their mother's milk. The same way as Christians, we are to long for the pure milk of the Word of God in order to grow in salvation. And the only way to do that, now we're talking about when 1 Peter was written, the church was in its infancy. It was in the first, y'all help me out here, 60 years, something like that. And so the church is growing. It's in its infancy. And he's telling them that in order to grow, you received your salvation, but now you can't remain as babies. You have got to grow. And so they need to, you know, to long for the pure milk of the Word. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Tells us, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Beginning in verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Peter is speaking. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. This one who they rejected has become the chief cornerstone. As we continue to grow in our salvation, we become more like Christ. In verse 5, let's see, go back, but verse 4, but he is choice and precious in the sight of God. Going back to a very familiar passage, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, God is saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John is baptizing him. Now, verse 5. Verse 5 is a very interesting verse. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be living stones? Anybody want to voice their opinion? You know, Christ is the cornerstone. Once we're saved, each one of us are living and we become part of the body of Christ. We become part of the church. And we're being built up. And as we're being built up, we are to be proclaiming the word and bringing others, you know, telling them about the Lord so that the church can continue to grow. And we are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. And what do the priests do? They offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And my question is, when I was reading this today and in the past, I got to thinking, as how am I doing in my offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God? And to be perfectly honest, I'm not doing as well as I should. And I have a feeling that possibly in a room of this size, there may be some others who may not be doing as well as they could also. But that's what we are told to do as living stones. And we are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. If we put our faith and trust in Christ, we won't be disappointed. That's just the truth. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Y'all bear with me just a second. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were appointed. Revelation 20, verse 15 tells us that if their name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are a chosen race. If you will turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." So God chose the Jewish people to be his chosen people. A royal priesthood. We don't have to go far on this one. 1 Peter, turn back a page. Actually, it's in chapter 2, verse 5. Just turning right back. "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood." So we are to be a holy priesthood. How are we doing in that aspect? "And we are a people for God's own possession." Book of Titus, chapter 2. Verse 14 tells us, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. And he has turned us from darkness into his marvelous light." That's going to be found in Acts chapter 26. Verses 13 through 18. "At midday, O king," and this is Saul speaking, "at midday, O king," at Paul, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me, in Hebrew dialect, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your own feet. For this purpose I have appointed you to appoint, have appeared to you to appoint you as a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." Verse 10. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Hosea 2:23 says, "We are God's people, and he is our God." Verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." One thing in the historical narrative about what we're talking about here is at this time, one of the religions is the goddess Diana or Artemis, depending on whether it's Greek or the Romans. This is one of the seven wonders of the world. And she was the goddess of sexual pleasures. And this is what these Jewish people are facing, and a lot of the people that they're in contact with worship the goddess Diana. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 12 says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Very familiar, Philippians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So I think it's very safe to say today, as it was in that day, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. Wouldn't you say? And we are all called to be lights in a dark and dying world. Verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. I'm just reading. This is what it says. Because I struggle, and I think a whole lot of us in this room here, truthfully, right now, today, probably struggle with our government. But, that's what the Word of God tells us to do. It says in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, that the government is established by God for his purposes. Okay? I have to remind myself of that. But that is what it is. We are to submit ourselves. And we are to pray. And I think that's the one thing we have got to continue to pray for our leaders in government. Verse 15, for such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 3:17, turn the page. For it is better if God should will it, so that you should suffer for doing what is right, rather than for doing what is wrong. Always do the right thing. Verse 16, we are to act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. John chapter 8, verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Romans 12, verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And 1 Peter 1:22 says we are to Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to fervently love one another from the heart, and we are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. What would the world be like if everyone did that? Wouldn't it be a much better place? A much better place. Verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Make sure that's right. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So we are to slave, if the slaves are to be obedient to their masters as if the master was Christ. Verse 19. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Verse 24, what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. 1 Peter 3, 9. Says, well, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Verse 22 through verse 25. Let me go back and read verse 21 leading into it. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. The Holy One who knew no sin became sin for us. Isaiah 53. Again, very familiar. Beginning in verse 3, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed.